Joe Fisher joins us, voice of the Commodores. What's going on?
Yeah, we're chipping in whatever we can for that $4 million, you know.
Keeping the lights on at the Saban House.
But we're doing the best we can.
All right. Well, Joe, it was fan day, the door jam yesterday over on West End. They unveiled their new fall line, not offense or defense, but the new line of uniforms.
And that was a real highlight. Everybody was excited to see that, and we had eight different players model eight of the nine different uniform combinations. So that was a pretty special time, and I think the fans really like the new look. What they're interested in now is to see how that new look is going to look. You know, how is that team going to play with the opener less than 2 weeks away? And you go back to the scrimmage on Saturday, and it's interesting. Bobby Johnson and that staff have to have a lot of decisions to make, not only in terms of personnel, but in terms of how you approach the last, you know, 10 days or so. I don't think there's going to be another scrimmage between now and the opener against Miami. And they even restricted some of the contact in the previous scrimmage on Saturday. A lot of the guys like Jeff Jennings and Jared Hawkins basically held out of it. So a lot of work for guys like Gaston Miller. Kennard Reeves is a name that I really think you're going to hear some about as well, running the football. But now it's time to start making some pretty serious decisions about who's going to play where, what the rotations are going to be, because when you get into your game week mode with the Thursday game, you know, think about it, it starts a little bit earlier in your game week preparation. So later this week, you know, they'll be in their final countdown toward game one.
Joe, do you get the feeling that Bobby Johnson at some point is going to say either Chris Nixon or Mackenzie Adams is our starting quarterback, or do you think we'll just find out when they hit the field of Miami?
That's a good question. I think he would like to be able to say who it's going to be. And he's kind of given a hint that maybe Chris has a little bit of an advantage right now. I think actually he's been a little bit, I don't want to say necessarily disappointed. I think he was really hoping that one guy would come in and just sort of take control of
him. Yeah, make
thing.
The decision for
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
You know, now I would think, Joe, not to interrupt you, but just to, I don't know if he knows yet, because if you settle in on a guy and you don't really know if they're kind of, you know, neck and neck, if they're even, no one really elevates, then, you know, he still has to wait and let them still give him a chance to elevate and compete.
And I guess the other thing that factors in is it's not like you're looking at a battle of two quarterbacks that play a completely different style of game. You know, that would really be, I think, more complicated for an offense if you were dealing with a guy who's a primary running quarterback and a guy who's a primary thrower. You know, these two guys basically can run the entire offense, the same offense, and do a lot of the same things. So I don't think it's as necessary for him to make an announcement or let the team know who it's going to be, but I know he'd like to.
And Joe, at the last moment, as we thought might happen, Tim Corbin, in fact, had an inkling that Pedro Alvarez would come to terms with the Pittsburgh Pirates, agrees to a minor league contract with $1 million signing, I guess more than $1 million signing bonus.
$6 million.
$6 million. He is literally the $6 million man, but again, that window shuts for Vanderbilt, and you got to be happy for Alvarez, who wanted this deal to get done.
I think we would have been amazed had it not been done. I did, in fact, an interview with a radio station up in Pennsylvania on Thursday, and they were asking all those questions, and I told them, I said, I would be just shocked if you don't have him signed by the end of the deadline. It's just, you know, what could he accomplish coming back, improving maybe one draft position? I just think it was the right time for him, and we're certainly happy for him. He now has the distinction of being the highest paid signed player in Pirates history.
Do you think he'll stay at third base, or will they try him somewhere else?
Good question. They've got a couple of options. I know they've got a young third baseman that they've brought into the organization as well, and I know there was a lot of talk about Pedro from the beginning maybe not being a third baseman in the big leagues, but he may be a power-hitting first baseman or whatever. I think he's good enough to play third. I think he's got the range. He's certainly got the arm. I think at first they'll probably give an opportunity to stay there.
Well, they're again, crazy with LaRoche's at third and first, so we'll see what happens.
That's right.
Joe, we'll let you roll on that. Thank you very much.
Okay, guys. See you later.